The big question is this: how does a beauty professional who is amazing at their service actually charge what they're worth and avoid attracting clients that are a pain in the butt? How do they become the go-to expert in their space and get their creativity and ideas shared with others so they can build their following without being stuck behind the chair or in their salon?
Those are the questions, and this podcast has the answers.
My name is Jordan.
And I'm Katie, and welcome to the Real Beauty Bosses podcast.
This is Jordan Key with Real Beauty Bosses, and today I am super excited to share with you an incredible individual. Her name is Renee Marie. She is a bridal hairstylist and bridal hair educator, and she's incredible at what she does. She has an amazing story to share with you guys, and she has been featured on Modern Salon Magazine, Modern Salon 100, Behind the Chair. She's been featured there 3 times. She's incredible at what she does, and I'm super excited to share with you guys our interview here, where we're going to be talking about focus, roadblocks, keeping it real, and balancing personal life and business. So pay close attention. Renee has an incredible story to share with you guys, and let's go ahead and jump right in.
All right. What's going on, guys? Welcome to Real Beauty Bosses. Today I have Renee Marie, right? And she is the founder of Styles by Renee, correct? And you'd probably do a better introduction than anyone of yourself. So I'll let you do that. But basically, you got started into bridal, right? You started first getting into the beauty industry at the age of 16. Is that correct?
Yes.
And how about you tell...
And now I'm 31, so we have to do the math there. About 16 years.
Quite a long time then, huh? That's awesome. Well, how about you kind of give us a little bit of a background and, you know, how you got to where you're at, you know, maybe, you know, what got you started in the beauty industry in the first place? You told me a little bit, but I'd love for everyone to hear. I thought you had an awesome story.
Sure. So as of right now, I'm a bridal hair educator. So I go around and travel to where I'm requested to teach bridal hair education. And I also teach private lessons for people who would like a little bit more of a hands-on approach, mm-hmm. As well as putting tutorials on my Instagram for people to see, and working on my subscription site as well. So they're a little bit more in-depth videos, like things I would teach in my classes. So that's where I am now. But from where I started when I was 16 was wanting to do singing and acting. I really enjoyed singing so much, but my parents were like, okay, well, if you're going to take that approach and not go to college, you have to have a backup. Yeah. So my backup was going to beauty school. And I still went to college after, but I did attend beauty school during high school, because in New York, it's a trade school. So you go half day to high school, half day to trade school. So I went for my junior, senior year, and then I graduated with my cosmetology degree. So I've been working in a salon since I was 16. I always enjoyed doing upstyling. I did all the competitions during beauty school. And then you get put into a salon and you kind of just do everything, because you're expected to do cut, color, and then event styling kind of gets put on the back burner. Yeah. Until I realized that this is what I want to do. So doing hair in New York for a while, I did move to Florida for about 6 years. And during that time, I kind of reevaluated my life and what I was doing. When I first moved to Florida, I wasn't doing bridal hair. I actually worked as a cocktail server in a casino, because it was a quick way to make money. I had my daughter. I had to be with her during the day. I had no family help. So I was working all night long, the graveyard shift. I had 2 hours of sleep every day from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. I would wake up and go to work, and I did that for a year. Mm-hmm. So I was hurting. Yeah, but at that time, I did do hair. I tried to promote it to the girls I was working with, and I did their color. And then I was like, just again, reevaluating my life. Okay, what do I need to do what I love and really get there? So I knew I always enjoyed doing bridal hairstyling. So I said, why don't I just do bridal hair? Mm-hmm. So that's when I went on Wedding Wire and The Knot, and I looked up top vendors, and I reached out to them, and I sent an email saying, hey, I'm going to do this area. Here's the link for my portfolio. Please let me know if you'd ever like to work with me. Mm-hmm. And that's how it started out. Yeah. Then it kind of trickled into education, because as I was doing bridal hair, I would have makeup artists or assistants watch me work. And they're like, how did you do that? And I'm like, wait, what? This is like so easy to me. And it made me realize, wow, I can teach people what I have learned through my expertise, through doing hair for already, it's been like 10 years at that point. Mm-hmm. And then also what I've picked up from other educators in the business, watching webinars or watching videos online, and it's all accessible. It's there. You just have to look for it. Yeah. And you have to have the time and take the time to watch it. Mm-hmm. So I kind of went into my own branding at that point of what I was going to teach at my classes, and started like going over my Instagram and seeing what feel I wanted to give people. And it was definitely the bridal aspect of it. Mm-hmm. So that's when I got into doing the educating, and that was like my aha moment. Like, wow, mm-hmm. I can have this platform now that I once, you know, enjoyed as being a singer and actress, and I can be on stage by teaching people how to do hair. Mm-hmm. So that's what it's kind of grown into.
Awesome. Yeah, absolutely. So how could maybe someone relate to, so you kind of, it obviously kind of was just something that you directed yourself into, right? But obviously you didn't just think right off the bat that, hey, I'm going to do bridal, right?
I mean, and through those 16 years of doing hair, there were times where I didn't. There were times where I stopped and just creatively I wasn't there, or mentally I wasn't there, and I was just lost. And I was like working at a restaurant or like, you know, and then dabbling doing color, but I didn't have that direction until I totally moved away from everyone. And then I got that direction being from the bottom, having literally nothing. Mm-hmm. And I just grew it into something. So you have to kind of hit that bottom sometimes to reinvent yourself and see the direction you want to go. Plus you intellectually grow different. I mean, totally different from when I was 18 to now 31. Yeah. And if you just kind of like figure out what your strengths are and then just go with it.
Yeah. And we talked a lot about that too, you know, how, you know, crazy things tend to happen to the best people. Right. But usually, you know, there's a silver lining to it all the time. You know, I have, you know, 100 different stories I could tell you that are just like crazy, where I felt like I was just not just hitting rock bottom, but busting through, you know, like it gets rough, you know. And, but, you know, you being able to be strong enough to overcome and bounce back and, you know, figure out, you never want to be back there at that point. Yeah. Right. So it pushes you, you know, more than anyone could ever imagine to want to be successful. And sometimes, like, you know, it's puts that kind of craziness in you that you are just going and going and going. And, you know, I can definitely see that in you, that, you know, you definitely, you know, are motivated and driven, but it doesn't happen on its own, right? You have to put in the work. You talked a lot about you were studying and learning and educating yourself, right? So maybe tell us a little bit about some of that. What do you feel was most beneficial for you to kind of absorb as much, you know, education information as possible?
So asking questions to other people in the industry that are a level up from me definitely is key. So I would just message them on Instagram, and you know what? A lot of them were nice enough to answer my question about what camera do you use, or what do you use for editing, or how did you do this in your video? Or what did you charge for bridal hair? Because these are all things where at first, yeah, I did get taken advantage of. I was charging under what I should have been charging. I was getting a percentage taken out more than what should have been. Yeah. But then you start to learn and grow, learn your worth, what you should do. And like I said, it's all accessible out there. So I've really taught myself and just learned from other people on, just because I had that direction of what I wanted to do. So I knew I wanted to create video content and do tutorials. I knew I wanted to be an educator. So I just had to find out everything there is to know about becoming one.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I just learn things throughout the way. Like, my classes are still aren't as perfected as I want, but, you know, with every class, I learn more from my students, and then I learn what to teach. Mm-hmm. But I mean, for instance, I started doing videos and using my Mac, and I have iMovie on my Mac, mm-hmm. and I was so frustrated because I couldn't figure out how to do the vertical videos because they're more appealing on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And there's my phone going off just like yours. There we go. And shut that up. So I was Googling forever, how do I create the vertical videos? And then it was just this one YouTube video I saw after looking at a ton of them that just worked, and that was it. But it took the time for me to search that, and then I found it. And all I had to do was to open it up in QuickTime, rotate it, and that was it. Yeah. So there are ways of figuring things out, but you have to really invest the time in doing them.
Right. I can completely, like, just real quick, like, relate to that. Like, all the information is out there. It just takes, like, a lot of people just aren't willing to go and find it, right? Mm-hmm. And that's why, you know, people are able to, you know, make money off educating and things like that, because you've spent the time learning all of that stuff that other mm-hmm. people maybe don't have the time to do. And so they'll pay you for that, you know, they'll pay you for that point of, you know, you going through, you know, the learning and the immersion to figure all of that out, and so yes. that they can kind of shortcut it, right? And so that's how, you know, people are able to accelerate super fast, because if you can reverse engineer, you know, a reverse engineer, like, you are going to move very, very quickly, right? And so, like, that's how we've been able to grow our business 100% at such a young age too. You know, I shouldn't know anything about, you know, business or the beauty industry and things like that. But guess what? I learned because, just like you said, I reach out to people. I'm doing it right now. You know, I want to learn and get the inside feel. And so I'm doing, you know, as much work as possible so that I can be able to, you know, share that information with other people and help them too. And it relates the same to an educator standpoint, right? You know, people absolutely. Will pay you for your advice that you took the time to learn.
Yeah. So,
absolutely. That's awesome.
So true. And with just elevating your business as well, you have to do some things that are per se free at first. So the contest that I've done on Instagram, those are things that I've taken my time, a lot of time in creating video content for them, or spending a day like brainstorming what hairstyles I should do for them. And I invested a lot of time in trying to get acknowledgement through these, you know, through these contests. And with that, I've gotten into great relationships with product companies, you know, just by shouting them out in, you know, hey, I use this product, or, you know, with Behind the Chair, I was nominated 3 years in a row now and acknowledged in that way. And that just puts you in a huge social platform and people get to know you more. So if you don't put yourself out there and invest that time, then no one's going to know who you are. So like I said, you have to get connected with people who are above, you know, your caliber, so that you can rise up at the same time. So I, you know, used to tag Modern Salon a lot, and they have recognized me in the past couple of years, and now I'm on their Artist Collective team, and it's just such a great thing because now we're all helping each other.
Right. Yeah. And you were telling me about that as well when we spoke on the phone before this, you know, the Instagram tags and things like that. Like, a lot of people would think that, you know, oh, they'll never see this, or, you know, it's, if I do that, it's not even worth it, you know, but like, those things start to collectively, you know, work over time, right? You know, it just takes it's almost like the snowball effect, right? If you just keep doing, you know, the right things that, you know, are going to get you in front of, you know, more people or people who can elevate you, then like, you need to be doing that as often as possible, because over time, you know, you may never know, you may just catch the right, you know, attention at the right time, right?
Yeah, absolutely. But I think the main thing is having your direction. So whether it's you want to be, you know, promoting the salon you own, or be driving in clients, or being an influencer and, you know, working with companies and brands, and you have to have that direction so that you can 100% put yourself, you know, active in doing things to grow that way. So a lot of times in my classes, I'll have people ask me, how do you, you know, get more Instagram followers and do this and that? And, you know, I'm like, well, I'm not trying to drive in clients. I'm trying to drive in my students, and I'm trying to drive in working with brands. So the way that I market myself might be different from the way you would market yourself, and you would have different hashtags, or you know, be doing styled shoots so that you could get acknowledged in bridal magazines.
Yeah.
And stuff like that, which I have done. But now, like I said, I'm going in more of the education route. So now I'm working more with brands and stuff like that. So
that's super awesome. I wanted to talk, like, that's what I really wanted to focus on today, because a lot of people like want to make that step, but they have no idea what to do it or what it takes, or, you know, how it all comes together. And so, what really like, drove you like internally to want to become an educator? Was it something that, you know, you just had invested so much time into that you felt like you wanted to give back? Or was there a deeper underlying meaning that, you know, what made you really want to help others, you know, kind of do what you've done?
Well, I guess it's because I started out where they started out. So there was a time where I was more timid in hairstyling, and I had that client bitch me out, or, and you're like, all right, you have to really gain that confidence. And the way in gaining that confidence is to learn your craft and perfect it. Right. So they cannot see you buckle up under pressure. Doing bridal hair is a very high pressured job. You need to psychologically get into people's heads and calm them down if they're a bridezilla, or you have to like know, or you gotta just like know how to please them, but then also bring your expertise into it and guide them into what is the right look for them.
Yeah.
So by providing like the knowledge that I've gained from doing weddings every weekend, I like to share it with others so that they feel more confident and they can get more, you know, bridal business. And, you know, it ends up being great money. And, you know, especially being a mother, I'm driven by working smarter and harder, because I want to be able to be there for my child. And, you know, it's great that I can do the education, because, you know, I can do that class and then, you know, she, and then have the time with her, you know, the rest of the week. And I think that that's what really drives me to teach other people, is just getting that confidence that they need to be doing bridal hair.
Cause you can help the most amount of people and also still have time to spend with your family and the freedom that you need. And so like, I think it's a route that literally anyone, like, obviously it's going to take some time to perfect your craft and get really good at what you do. And you can't just start becoming an educator. Right. Mm-hmm. But I think it's someone, an area like where it's, there's so much freedom in it, and you start to build that confidence from it. And I've noticed it myself too, because that's the route that we've kind of shifted in, you know? And, so like, I think like speaking out to, you know, any beauty service provider out there, like get and focus on one thing that you can do and get really, really good at it. And then, you know, be able to educate other people, because people will, you know, want your advice when they know that you're, you know, good at what you do. So you have to get good first, but then people will, you know, respond to you wanting to help them because they know everything that you've been through. But you have to really be, and we talked about this too, you know, you have to be, you know, real and raw and real and, you know, transparent with people. And like, you can't, you know, pretend to be someone that you're not, you know, through social media, which a lot of people unfortunately do. But, you know, if you can resonate with people and like, you know, let them know your story and, you know, tell them all you've been through, and you can also showcase the aspect of your amazing work, people will, you know, want to learn from you, and they'll want to, they want to be like people who have, you know, kind of been through what they've done and accomplished what they want to do. So, I think like an educator route is like, I'm super excited we got to talk to you about that today, because like, I think that's like, you know, the route that a lot of people should be moving towards, because it's such a freer lifestyle. Right. And I think that's super important to a lot of us. And of course, you know, down the road, you know, it's where the money can be as well, you know,
like,
once you get, you know, your foundation, your following, you know, you're compensated for it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I, when I started educating, it was kind of on the rise of when there started being independent educators out there. And I really feel like the beauty industry is changing with the way they're learning, and the things you learn in beauty school, it's like, all right, when are they going to update it now and have us come in and be able to teach and them get hours for it, you know, people get hours for it, because I think it's really evolving into that. But I feel like with the going in the education route, it's just something that's going to constantly be needed. Like, people need the education, like, you know, they're going to want that when they are fresh out. But it's only that certain percentage of people who really want it. And I feel like now, you know, we can get so self-critical because we're like, oh, okay, you're on Instagram, you're scrolling through, you're like, oh my God, here's another hair influencer, here's another person who's their educator. But there's enough to go around. Not everyone's going to like me as an educator.
Exactly. Oh, you're cutting out a little bit.
You all have your own, just like you have your own client base in your salon, you have your own student base when you're educating. So people shouldn't feel threatened by another person who's educating, you know, something similar, because there's going to be a reason why they come to my classes and a reason why they come to the other person's class. Yeah. So I had to really drive that in my brain because first I'm like, oh my God. But it takes a lot of work in trying to perfect what you want to come across as and what you want to bring to the table that's different from the next person. But definitely being real and approachable is top for me. And I did have a student in my last class say, I wasn't afraid to ask you a question during class. Like, you were so like approachable, and that's really what I want. I don't want people to think I'm on this like, ooh, this is the bridal hair educator. We can't, you know, I want them to ask me questions. That's what makes me a better educator, is knowing what they want to learn.
Exactly. Yeah. And completely, like, I think like what you just said hits the nail on the head so big, because like what we're doing right now too is like literally the showcasing of that, like, you know, I have had some other people here that we've talked to who do wedding hair and educating too, but like, that doesn't matter, right? Like, someone may resonate with someone else and someone may resonate with you better, right? It just depends on, you know, how you portray yourself and your story and like who people connect with, right? And like, I think you're absolutely right that there's, you know, enough of us to go around, right? You know, it's really...
style, like some people, like I did, and it's always, you always have to ask questions to the people and what they like. So like on my Instagram stories, I use that as leverage to help me with that. So like, I would ask, you know, what do you want to see more of my videos? What do you like, dislike? Do you like my longer IGTV videos better than my short ones? And you know what? I got a lot of people that said the shorter ones because they like to watch it really quick. They don't have the time, or don't want to have the time to watch the longer ones that have more info. So, you know, I really use that in trying to figure out what people want. But then I'm always going to have that extra education for the people who really want it and want to excel.
I think what you just said is huge to note too. Like, asking people what they want rather than just pumping out content is super important, and can really like fuel you to creating content that people want. Like, you're giving them exactly what they want, and like that will help you build a following as well. You know, if you are gearing your you know, presence in your social media you know, following just based off, you know, you coming up with stuff and just throwing shit out there, like, it's not going to resonate as much as if you, like, you know, obviously you have to have a testing ground to start, but like, if you get people engaged and ask what they want and like give them what they want, that's what's going to help you the most, right? Like, that's what people connect with. And they get excited about seeing, you know, the next thing that you have to offer, right? So, awesome. I wanted to talk a little bit about kind of some of the maybe struggles and the walls that you hit along your way. I know we talked a little bit about this, and, you know, when you were, at what point did things like get a little bit tough for you? I know like you started at a very, very young age. Mm-hmm. And so like 16 years old and, you know, getting into the beauty industry, like, you know, that's for even though you're so young now, like, you've been in it for a long time. Right. And so, what have you kind of, seen has been the biggest, you know, wall that you've hit or struggle that you've seen, that, you know, maybe even one of those hair wrenching moments that were just tough to get through, along your journey to where you're at now?
So, definitely being lost when I, you know, had moved to Florida and I wasn't even really doing hair that much, that was like the time where I was at my lowest. And, you know, and then once I started rising up and out of that, and when I first had my, you know, my first class in August of, I think it was 2015, about 3 years ago, it was so exciting and thrilling. And I started doing videos, and then I had an accident and I was washing a mason jar and my hand went through it and the glass had torn up my hand and I severed the index finger tendon. So I was out of work and the first thought was, what am I going to tell my brides? Like, you know, that I had to cancel because of my hand. And I was just thinking like, wow, like what if I didn't have my left hand? What if I didn't have a hand? So like I started like cooking with one hand or like doing hairstyles with one hand, like just to keep my spirits up because, I wanted to just, you know, get through that and not be depressed about it. And once I recovered, the first thing I did was enter the behind the chair contest for the Hot Shot Awards. Awesome. And that was the first year.
Were you right-handed or left-handed?
I'm right-handed.
Okay.
So, my right hand had went through the glass.
Okay. So it was, that's terrible. So you had to learn how to use your left hand.
I had to learn how to, and please try brushing your teeth with your left, like your opposite hand. You wouldn't think that it's hard, but it really is. That was all over my mouth. I'm like, oh my God, like anything. Use your opposite hand. It's really hard. Yeah. But yeah,
it came out of nowhere. Like, what were you, was it just like what were you doing with the jar? I mean, it was just a normal day, right?
I was cleaning it and it was weird because it kind of foreshadowed it a few days before. The same ball mason jar, I had like a couple of them. One of them had like a hole at the bottom. I'm like, how does that happen? It was like defective, right? So I didn't think anything of it. And, you know, I was washing the dishes and at the time I didn't have a dishwasher. So I like to get my hand in there to get it clean with the sponge. And I just kind of pressed a little too hard or the water was too hot or the jar was defective. And that was it. My hand went through it and I pulled it out. So as I went through, that's when I got the injury on my index finger tendon. And then when I pulled out, it tore up my thumb area. So it was just inevitable to happen.
Gosh, that's crazy. Like, that just shows like things can happen out of nowhere, but you have to be able to, you know, adapt and work through it. And
yeah.
I mean, that's not something that, you know, is easy trying to figure out how to do everything with your left hand. How did things go when you got to behind the chair after you kind of recovered? Did things go okay?
Well, the first thing I did was a wedding and I did 9 people.
Really? Oh man.
And I had at that point, cause at first I had a full cast because it has to keep your entire hand solid so that the tendon can repair. So then they put a splint on my finger. So I did a group of 9 girls with a splint on my finger and I just allowed myself a little bit more time for each person. But then with behind the chair and doing the contest, I was just driven a little bit more. I was like, oh, I could do hair again. This is so exciting. And it just really pushed me to like be more creative. So that's when I got nominated the first year in 2016, I'm sorry. And then 17 and then again 18. This year. That was definitely one of the times where it was like, wow, anything could really happen. You
That's
know?
Insane. Yeah, absolutely. But
even now, this is 3 years later, I can have those moments where I'm like reevaluating everything. Okay. Am I not doing something right? You know, not knowing where the next paycheck's going to come from. I mean, you have to have a lot of faith when you have your own business and know that it's going to work out. You have to know, okay, if I'm doing all the right things and setting this up, I know I'm going to sell out at this class, or I know I'm going to get, you know, another person booking for, you know, private education, or I know I'm going to get this next opportunity with this company. So you really just have to believe that you can do it. And I did work in a salon for a little bit in Florida, and it was in 2015, I think. That's when I said, I'm just going to do it. And I had my friend, Francesca, she was the PR girl for the salon, and she like helped me get that like leap of faith. She was like, you're awesome. You can do this. And like, I was like, I'm so scared. Like, it's not like steady income. Like, but what do you know? Like I quit and I was booked. I booked myself up. Like, yeah. And it was just incredible.
Yeah. That's awesome. I mean, I think like the biggest thing is people like expect things to happen like overnight where like, you know, it doesn't happen that way, but it can happen very fast if you just like do the right things every single day. Yeah. And like, it's literally the snowball effect. Like you just have to do the right things every single day, whether it be, you know, educating yourself and learning or, you know, doing some, you know, tagging or outreach or, you know, whatever your goal is, it's going to be different obviously. But like, if you put in the work every single day and you know that if I do this every single day for at least, you know, this amount of time that I will be successful, you have to keep yourself accountable for it. Right.
Yeah.
So awesome. Yeah. So that was obviously a big obstacle to overcome, you know, with the hand issue and everything, but you're able to get through that. Was there some other kind of roadblocks that came in your way as well that kind of maybe slowed down momentum? Or kind
one was recent over the summer. Yeah. So that happened and I lost my brother and that was hard. And that made me kind of reevaluate my business and when to cut off of social media for a little bit. Like it's okay to be real and like let people know the deal. So I let people know the deal. Like I lost my brother. This is a hard time. I'm not going to be producing content for a little bit. And I took a break off social media. And it's just something I had to do. It's not like I couldn't, you know, create something and be.
Because at that point, it would probably not be genuine, you know, getting in front of, like, you don't want to bring, you know, anyone else, you know, down and things like that. But it's not even about that, too, you know, like, I mean, you got to have time for yourself. And I know, like, for a fact that, you know, that was definitely a hard thing to go through for you. And so I admire you that you were able to, you know, work through it and overcome it. And obviously, it took some time, right, to something like that. But
it's what's driving me now. Like, you know, even when I go running in the morning, like I think about them and I'm like, oh, I'm just going to run a little bit faster or, you know, and it just kind of gives me that drive. And then also, you know, it'll eventually get into me talking more about it and why it happened and maybe be a voice for other people. Cause you never know what people are going through behind the veil. And my brother is a true definition of that. You know, he portrayed to be this perfect student, the perfect brother and son and worker. But no one knew internally what he was battling with. Yeah. And it was just unfortunate that, you know, he didn't feel comfortable to share that with people and he wanted to hide it and not bother people with his problems. Mm-hmm. So I just want other people to know it's okay to have your depressed moments and, you know, talk about it and you're eventually going to get through it. And the way you get through it is by talking to other people who go through similar things.
Yeah. And we were able to do this a little bit too, you know, it honestly, you being so, you know, transparent, even when we had never met before, we talked on the phone for a little bit and like, you know, we got very, you know, emotional and it was powerful. You know, it really connects people, sharing those stories. And so like, I think, you know, a lot of people, they should be, you know, more open and transparent. That's how you build real relationships is you don't talk about the good all the time. You talk about the bad, right? And, it's tough, but, I feel like, you know, me being able to, get more comfortable about sharing my, personal background and stories and things like that too, like allow people to connect with me on a different level. Because, you know, while it may not be something that a lot of people have been through, like, they can still relate, you know, to the feelings and the hard times. And so like, you know, it's super important, you know, to, use that as fuel as well, you know, use your struggles and your downfalls or things that maybe, you know, are depressing moments in your life that, you know, while they may have been, you know, terrible to deal with and hard to deal with at the time, like, you know, you working through it and like, you know, being able to still, you know, be positive about it and have a positive outlook on it and know that everything happens for a reason is mm-hmm. what, you know, really drives you to be, you know, the best you can be and allows other people to kind of connect with you, right? So
and it also helps yourself talking about it, because then you realize things about yourself. You know, like, okay, I'm going to talk about this moment and then I'm going to feel bad. And then you talking about it, you're like, okay, you're reevaluating things in your head, and it just makes you think about your life. And then it makes me think about, why am I like being so hard on myself right now? Like, look at all these great things that have happened. Like, sometimes I'll do journaling. My mom got me this little diary and, mm-hmm. you know, it's called A Line a Day. And you write things down and I'm like, look at all these accomplishments that I've done this past year. Like, what am I doing? Like, why am I destructing myself right now? Because being ambitious, yes, you always want the next best thing and the next, you know, stepping stone and getting what you want to achieve. But along the way, you have to realize the things that you've done and accomplished to even get there, because you have to be your own cheerleader. And you have to be like, wow, you have to recognize like what you've done. And sometimes you don't realize those things unless you talk about them to other people.
Yeah.
And then you can be like, wow, I am pretty awesome. Like, you know.
And like psychologically, like a lot of those things, like our mind starts to block out to avoid, you know, dealing with it. But like facing it head on and like accepting it and talking about it, like, makes you like, it gives you a sense of empowerment that you feel like you would never feel, right? And so like, and it connects people to you know, people like, no one will ever connect to anything more than your story. And the more you can perfect and share that story to more and more people is what will allow you to excel in life, you know, whether it be no matter what you're doing, right? If you can get, you know, people to resonate with you, and people want to help people, right? They just need a reason to. And so, you know, telling your personal background and your story, like really, it wants people to, you know, listen to more of what you have to say and like hear more about that journey, because it's something that just a lot of people don't talk about, you know? And so like, I really appreciate you, you know, sharing that with us, because I know that's hard to talk about. And, you know, I know it's made you such a better person in the process too. And everything happens for a reason, right?
Absolutely.
Awesome.
Yeah. So yeah, just having that balance of work and being professional and then sharing a little bit of about yourself is like so important. I mean, I think about a post that my friend Alicia Jared did on Instagram, and she's like, I woke up at 4 a.m. in the morning to do this before my kids got up. Like, but she makes it look so good in the video, and like you would know she was at 4 a.m. to create video content, but that's what she had to do as a mom of you know, having, you know, the kids, that's it. It's about them when they're up, and thank God when they're in school, because then you have time to, you know, and get things done. So yeah, it's just nice to share those little things, you know, along the way. So people know what they all.
Yeah. 100%. What maybe you said you had a couple, aha moments when you figured out that a lot of people, connected with you and wanted to, you know, learn from you. Could you maybe share a little bit about that? Like what really, was that kind of like epiphany moment that like made you really realize that teaching and educating was something that you could be passionate about?
So I remember exactly the day. I was in Florida. I was doing hair for an Indian wedding, and it was super early in the morning, and I had to get everyone done before like 9 a.m. So I was up at like 3:30 in the morning starting hair. And I had a girl there who did makeup, but then she was also assisting me with hair. So she's watching me, and like, I just like did my thing and did my updo. And she's like, how did you do that? What are you talking about? Like, I just put a bobby pin here or whatever. Like, you know, it was so like easy to me. Yep. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like she did, like I can teach this. Like, this is so cool. So that was like my moment that day. I was like, I'm going to be an educator. And like I said, that was like at the moment when independent educators started rising up. And I was like, at that prime time of doing it. So
it's still rising. I don't think I'm never going to stop.
No, but it was like when it was new, you know, and you're having these classes. So I was like, I'm going to do a class. So then that's when I started, and I reached out to like the salon I worked for a little bit, see if I, you know, they can be my host salon. Mm-hmm. And really it's just using your network of people, that you know, and also, you know, shouting them out too along the way, like that they've helped you. Like I have a lot of people to thank for helping me along the way. And I want them to know, you know, that they're special to me in the whole process. I wouldn't be where I am now if I didn't have the help from other people. Yeah. You can't do anything by yourself. You can be, you know, you can be doing what you do by yourself, but if you don't have the help of other people along the way, you can't be seen or heard or anything.
Exactly. So that's awesome. So that's like kind of when you decided that, you know, this is what I'm going to do, right?
And that was it.
What was kind of your plan after that to do that? Did you have one, or did you like what was the first?
I researched, like I said, like you have to read that. Now I have the directions, so I researched. So I contacted Hair and Makeup by Steph. I, mm-hmm. you know, I asked her, what do you charge for your classes, or what did you start charging, or what do you pay the salon that hosts, you know, that hosts your class? And then I started reaching out to product companies that I have, you know, shouted their stuff out on my Instagram and the products I believe in, like Kenra. I use a lot of their products for styling. So I reached out to them. I said, hey, would you mind supplying some, you know, some products for my class? It was all asking. Like I already had the relationships with people. I just had to ask. Mm-hmm. So that's it. Just ask. That's how I got started.
Awesome. Yeah. And so like, it just all comes down to like researching and educating yourself and, mm-hmm. You know, making the right connections to people, right? Like,
yes.
you never know. Like, I think a lot of people just think like, oh, if I, you know, try to reach out to this person, they'll never respond. Like, just do it. You know, you never know.
Do it.
You have nothing to lose.
Okay. That was another thing is the way I've grown from when I was 16 to now is not being as timid and talking myself down. The reason why I didn't go into, you know, being a singer is because I was scared. Everyone's like, go on American Idol. And I didn't do it. Like if I wouldn't have been so afraid and not as, you know, more confident, then I would have done it. So I think your mind is the biggest battle to fight, is getting away from overthinking about things or thinking about the outcome before it even happens.
Yeah.
Like you just have to do it and feels right. Then just do it.
Yeah. Like you can easily like talk yourself out of anything, right?
Absolutely.
Even getting up out of bed in the morning. Like it only takes a few seconds to talk yourself out about it. So like just get up and do it. And then just like the rest will figure itself out. I think, you know, a lot of people have a lot to learn from that. That's awesome. What do you feel, so right now with where you're at, you're very successful. You have almost like 20,000 followers, right? On mm-hmm. Instagram. Is that your main platform that you focus on?
It is. And again, I'm still growing in my business and learning from others who have a lot more followers.
Yeah.
And I did do YouTube 3 years back, but I never upkept it because it does take a lot of time to edit those videos. And I was focusing more on editing videos for my Instagram, and it's a different kind of editing process because for Instagram, they have to be 1 minute videos. For YouTube, it's a lot longer duration. So now I'm using the tools I have with like IGTV. Those are raw videos. Like I barely edit them. I just put them together. Yeah. It's just talking and showing you how to do something like I would do in my class, which is great. So I think now what I'm learning is, yes, I have used Instagram as my main source of promoting myself.
Mm-hmm.
But what eventually needs to happen is spreading myself across different, you know, social media platforms so that I could be seen by other people, let's say in Facebook. You know, I always make sure I upload to Facebook off of my Instagram. So using the other social platforms, because then I'll get them driven in from, you know, YouTube. Maybe someone that watched a video on YouTube doesn't know about my Instagram, you know? And I So I went on my YouTube the other day and I looked at a video I posted 3 years ago and it had like 100,000 views. I was like, what? Like, I didn't even know. Like, cause I didn't look at it. I was so
crazy. what a surprise.
I was like, surprised. But I didn't even know because I wasn't doing that upkeeping. So again, it's about being disciplined and focused on what you want to do. So my focus was Instagram. So now my focus is kind of just, you know, spreading it out across all the social media, platforms. That way I can be seen even more and grow my business more. Just have different things to offer people. Like I said, some people like the 1 minute videos, some like the YouTube videos, some like the IGTV. So it's just giving, you know, more so that people can decide on what they like.
Absolutely. That's awesome. Yeah. I think, 100%, like, you just have to like find out what your audience wants. And, you know, even if you like don't really know where you're at one place in your business, you can always learn from someone else who's already like been there and done that. And you can do it really quickly. I mean, it just takes maybe a little time to find like the right content. And like, hopefully like this will be a good way too that, you know, connecting a lot of different people through these interviews will hopefully like, you know, maybe, you know, people who resonate with your message and your story that we just talked about, maybe they can go learn from you and now they can go find you. Right. And maybe then you can start helping them kind of do what you've discovered along the way. And it kind of shortcuts, you know, all of the information and knowledge and research that you've done, which I'm sure is a lot. Right. You know, and kind of shortcut that into, you know, hey, I'll teach you everything that I've learned and I'll help you kind of, you know, take the step by step path that I know has worked for me. Right. Mm-hmm. And so that's all it comes down to when I think.
And then they just have to apply it and be driven to do it. There are days where I'm like, oh, I don't feel like doing a video. Like, I'm just tired. I don't feel like putting makeup on and like getting in front of the camera. Yeah. And like, if I don't feel like it, like, it's not good. Like, or I'll just think of a different alternative. So instead of doing one where I'm speaking to the camera, maybe I'll just do like a close-up one of the mannequin and, you know, just do the quick 1 minute video and at least it's something that I have. So I think that is like, that's a good thing is to like be honest with yourself and every day being like, okay, this is what I'm going to push myself to do. And this is what I'm ready for. I mean, there are times where I'm like, you know, doing things on the computer. And then I just have that moment where I'm like, oh, I feel like being creative. So I stop what I'm doing and I create a beautiful updo and I take a picture of it and it's content for my Instagram. But like, it's not, I'm not like structured because that's not my personality. Mm-hmm. I try, like, there's no cookie cutter way in doing things. You have to do what's right for you.
Yeah.
And I would get mad at myself. I'm like, God, I'm like so ADD and all over the place all the time. I like can't focus. Like I have a sign in my room. It says focus, darling.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can you show it to me?
Yeah. Totally. It's like right here. I got it at Michael's and it says focus, darling. Mm-hmm. Because that I just... But that's not me. And like, so I have to fit what I'm trying to figure out is what works for me and my personality and like how I am inside instead of forcing myself to be like, okay, this is what this book says or, you know, and reading too has helped me a lot. I read a lot of like business books. The one I'm reading right now is called The One Thing.
Oh, and perfect. Yeah.
That's, I love it because... And some things like I question in it and I'm like, oh my gosh, no. But when I do that, this is what I benefit from. So I can write all my notes and lists. Like that's how I function. I need to write my list every day and it feels good to cross the things off. Mm-hmm. But my problem is that I'll do the ones that don't matter as much first and then leave the important ones to last. And what this book is saying is like, cut your to-do list down and focus on that one thing, the most important thing you have to do.
Yep.
So that is my struggle.
That book specifically has like changed the game for me too. Like, it's so easy. Like, and, I don't know if we talked about this, but like, imagine, I always do this and I won't take the credit for it. Obviously I learned this from someone else, right? You draw a circle on a piece of paper and, you know, every time you're dividing your focus into, you know, doing 100 different things, whether it be services or what you're focused on doing on a day-to-day, you know, basis, what, how long your to-do list is, you know, cross that circle in half. And, you know, however many times that you're, you know, doing different things in a day, like you have no focus, right? It's all divided in that one circle. And so like, preferably like what you would want to be doing is, you know, having just one circle going in one direction, right?
Yeah.
And just focusing on that one thing, because if you have like all these little mini, you know, arrows going out, you know, there's no, where are you going, right? You know, you're going everywhere. And so like, I think it's super important to note that like focus is the, you know, probably the number one thing that's going to make you successful. Whether it be, you know, focusing on, you know, just your art and your craft, or focusing on the big goal that you want to reach and doing everything you can to reach it. You know, that's a good book. Anyone who, you know, needs to kind of get, you know, a little paradigm shift and change the way that they think, like, educating yourself is super important. Like I can't stress enough how much personal development and, you know, making those little mindset, you know, tweaks, can really change the way that you, live your life, especially and get to your goals faster. Right.
Yeah.
So what's the biggest, struggle with, right now where you're at? You said, is there one thing in particular that you're struggling with at this moment that's like a big problem or something you're trying to overcome? Because a lot of people don't talk about it when you get to, you know, a big following and, you know, now I'm in the educator realm. Like what's tough at that stage? You know, what's kind of hard?
So what's tough right now is I'm a mother first, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm traveling a lot for work, which I enjoy because I get to see new places and it's just great. I mean, to be able to network and be known all over. So my struggle now is not getting in my head too much and being like, okay, well, if I don't go to this, then I don't have to worry about childcare for this time or who's going to bring her to school or, but then the other side of it of I'm going to make so many connections if I go and do this, and this is going to be good for us and for my business and getting where I want to go. So I feel like it's that like back and forth, like talking myself like into things and out of things, and focusing on that one thing. So that's where it's hard right now, is like being able to balance my, you know, being a mom and my, and then being, you know, having my work life. That is always a hard thing because you want to be able to be there for your child. But at the same time, you need to do what's good for your business so that you can do things for your child. So I can pay for her to go to gymnastics or so she can come with me on a trip to Florida where I'm teaching a class. Like that's what I love the most, is I get to travel with my work and, you know, take her with me for some of the time. So yeah, I think right now that's where I'm like, okay, you know, how much do I want to be traveling? Or if I want to be, you know, more at home, or maybe I'll get the traveling out of the way right now. So that way when I get married next year and, you know, if we're going to have a kid, like then I'll be more doing the things at home because I'm able to do things from home, which is great. I can just shoot a video here at home. I can market myself at home. Through Instagram. So it's wonderful. But then there are those times where I need to get out of my comfort zone and travel to LA and take a 6 hour flight by myself because I have to network with people. So I think it's just like the same thing where I didn't go on American Idol when I was younger and a singer because I was afraid. Like, you know, you psych yourself out. And so that's right now is like trying to unpsych myself out about certain things. And being focused on the things that really matter and believing when I feel like it's a good thing to just go along with that good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, like what you're doing now, like reading books and educating yourself, I mean, that's the way to do it. Cause you know, I used to be the same way and I still am, you know, every single day I try to, you know, if you can keep yourself uncomfortable and challenge yourself every day, like it's going to get to the point where like nothing really scares you anymore. Right. you'll do whatever it takes, you know, to be successful and live the life that you want to live. So, awesome.
And just remember those moments where you're like, oh, I was psyched out about this. And then look what ended up happening. It was awesome. Yeah. I mean, I tell my daughter too. I'm like, Kylie, you thought the first day of school was going to be bad and you were going to be a teacher and everyone's going to be mean to you. Mm-hmm. And look, you don't even feel like it's school. You have a great teacher. You have friends. Like, so it's not like thinking about the situation too much where you're like, you know.
Just do it. And then like, you'll look back at it and be like, why the heck didn't I do that sooner? You know, it's crazy. So last things as we wrap up here, what are some of your, I wanted to talk about some of your biggest accomplishments and kind of showcase a lot of those. I know you said you've been featured on Behind the Chair three times, right? Mm-hmm. How about you share some of your biggest accomplishments that you've achieved thus far?
So I'm in the process of redoing my website right now. So one of the things I have to do is have my bio. So I've had to look at things that I've accomplished in the past. And when I just kept typing and typing and typing, I'm like, oh my God, like this is like a lot of stuff. Like,
yeah.
I'm really excited right now. But you know, there are the things, like I said, they get kind of just like pushed aside when you're looking at the next best thing to accomplish. Mm-hmm. So let me just plug in my computer really quick so I don't cut out the other thing. So, I've been featured in Behind the Chair magazine a couple times. And with that, I've been nominated for One Shot Awards for 16, 17, 18. And then this year, I just got on the Modern Salon Artist Connective team, which is in the Modern Salon Top 100, which is, it's just like a group of really talented stylists. And we all kind of just lift each other up and support each other. And like, you know, you said, sharing your story. So, you know, I got interviewed by Modern Salon and it shared a little bit about myself and, you know, what I use for my Instagram, you know, you know, certain hashtags and stuff and, you know, just things about me. So that was really special. I did get featured in Beauty Launchpad magazine this year.
Awesome.
As an upcoming, like rising, you know, I forgot exactly what the quote was on it, but that was really special to have like a page in Beauty Launchpad magazine. I've gotten a lot of recognition from, you know, different product companies and stuff. So I'm starting to work more with them. I've done a campaign with Biolage this year and I'm working on a lot of stuff with Kenra right now.
Awesome.
Kenra is just such a great company. They sponsor all of my updo classes. That's been really special. I mean, for them to send out hundreds of dollars worth of product for the stylist in my classes, that means so much to me. But it's, you know, it's that relationship. We just, we know we're, you know, making each other grow. Like these students are going to use this product and love it and buy it forever now. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I guess just a lot of stuff with like, you know, like the magazines being acknowledged and stuff, and working with the product companies and doing more with them.
Mm-hmm.
That's my accomplishments for right now. I do have something coming out. I can't say what company it's for yet because the book's not out yet, but I will be featured in a bridal hair book. And it's like a pictorial book that, you know, I did a style for. So that's really exciting.
Awesome.
And I'm trying to think anything else. It's just a lot of stuff. So I've kind of just been trying to like take it all in and appreciate it, you know? But yeah, I think as of now, those are my accomplishments so far this year.
That's awesome. Congratulations. I mean, that's a lot, right?
Yes.
So that's super exciting. So basically today, some of the things that I was writing down, I was taking notes this whole time. Some of the major things that you really talked about focusing on was one, focus, you know, how important that is to really, you know, not get distracted too much and like, you know, have that one line of vision, right? And you talked about, you know, some of the roadblocks that you went through, some things that are completely unexpected that just, you know, tend to happen, right? Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, tough to go through, but working through those makes you a much stronger and better person, right?
Yeah.
You also talked about being transparent and real, you know, and sharing those stories and you know, being, you know, as real as possible even when you're in front of the camera, like obviously, you know, you may have to kick it up a notch and be a little bit, you know, more exciting and fun just to keep people watching. But like, you also want to be extremely, you know, transparent and real. You know,
genuine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And you also talked about balance, which is, you know, a big struggle, especially in the beauty industry. Like, it's very easy to get bogged down behind the chair or, you know, focus so much on the business aspect and not so much on, you know, home life aspect. And for, you know, you to be the most successful, you have to, you know, everything needs to be functioning as one unit, right? You know, you need to take care of your body, you need to take care of yourself, you need to take care of, you know, your business, of course, you need to take care of your family, and you need to kind of find a way to intertwine all of that together, right? And so I'm sure, like, that's obviously a struggle with where you're at now, but you know, you're very aware of it, and I'm sure you're managing it pretty well. you said you have just one daughter, you said?
I do. I have one daughter. Her name is Kylie Marie, and she likes being here too.
Yeah.
But she is just awesome. But I mean, with that is the other struggle of trying to divide my time the right way and be there for her. I don't even think I've ever shared this on social media or anything, but she has Asperger's, which is high functioning autistic.
Yeah.
So I have to be there and be present with her, even though she has an imagination that's just so beautiful. She can go and play with her Barbies in the other room while I'm working. But I mean, when it comes to being there for her with her schoolwork, I do have to, you know, sit there with her. I need to make sure she's involved in a lot of activities because kids with Asperger's need that relief. So there are those stresses too, is okay, well, I want to have her in these activities, so I need to work really hard to have the extra cash flow to be able to provide,
you know, that. Absolutely.
Have her involved in those classes. So that actually, I don't think I've ever shared that before, it's not something to be ashamed of either. I mean, there's so many kids that are autistic now. Thank God she's on the high functioning. I mean, you wouldn't even know by talking to her. She's very outgoing.
Yeah.
That's one thing she has going for her. She's very personable. Mm-hmm. But you know, once you get to know her a little bit more and see her mannerisms, you can see little tics and things that she does. Mm-hmm. And you know, there's something, you know, a little different, but she has a beautiful mind, and I'm just trying to help her find herself.
Yeah.
And through that, I mean, the things that I'm learning, I'm trying to teach her along the way. And, you know, the other day she's like, "Mommy, how come I can't read as good as the kids in the class?" Or, you know, whatever. I go, "Kylie, it's because you have a different mind." And we all have a different mind, just like Mommy does. And, you know, I have to do things a certain way and explaining to her, you know, Mommy runs around and like does different things at once. Like, you know, I have a different brain. Yeah. And like, your brain is like Grandma's. She's good at math. And, you know, I just try to compare, you know, my life with hers so that she can feel bad about herself.
Absolutely.
But that's never easy, you know, when your kids like knows they're different. She's very aware of herself. Yeah. And you have to be able to describe to them that nobody's
bad.
Yeah. And it's not a bad thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's so awesome. I can tell you're an awesome mother.
Well, thank you.
That's awesome. I mean, you obviously work super hard, and I mean, you've been through a lot and you've overcome a lot, and I can only see you going up from here. So I'm super excited to see what else is in store for you. But thank you so much for being so transparent and being here today. Last question I did want to ask you as we wrap things up here is, what do you feel has been the biggest, how would you kind of describe the transformation maybe you've experienced since you first started at 16 years old to now? You know, what do you feel has kind of been, you know, really, how do you feel you've changed personally along the way? Like, with all these things that you've shared with me, I'm sure there was a lot in between too. You know, was there, you know, how do you kind of feel that all of that has brought you to be a better person? And are you on like a different, I'm sure you kind of, I know I can kind of, I've been through so much, and it's hard to talk about too. That like, it's, kind of makes you think a little bit different. Right. And it does transform you, but I think it all comes down to like, you know, taking something that maybe, is hard and a struggle and like trying to go learn from it and how to deal with it rather than just figure it out on your own.
Yeah.
I've become into like a sponge, like a lot of people say that, I don't have time to pick up a book, or I don't have time to go through a course, or, do any, research. I'm so busy. And like, make the time, like make that your priority. And
absolutely.
I think that's like been the biggest transformation for me, is like, I've made it part of my habit to educate. Yes. And to learn and to
work. Habits are key.
Yeah.
For sure. Just like in the morning, I drop her off at the bus stop and then I'm like, I'm going to go for a run. If I do not go for a run in the morning after I drop her off, it's not happening. I get caught up doing other things. Mm-hmm. So definitely it's making those habits, and then it's just the norm for you. Yeah. But I think with the transition, the things I've learned is taking the leap of faith is huge, and believing in it. So at first I didn't have the confidence to do that. So with growing and transforming, I've grown that confidence, mm-hmm. which then allows me to have more faith that everything will be okay.
Yeah.
And yeah, if I'm doing the right things.
Absolutely.
So that's, I think, through my transformation, what has been, the thing the most that has changed about me is building that confidence up to be able to live and more freely instead of in my head.
Absolutely. Yeah. I love that. I mean, confidence is key, but you have to learn how to build that confidence up.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for sharing all this with us. I think like there's so much to learn from here and so much to hear about your story. We talked about focus, roadblocks, transparency, balance. We talked about a lot of stuff today. And I think like, the knowledge and transparency that you just shared here today will probably resonate with a lot of people. And thank you so much. Last thing I did want to add, where can people find you? And could you maybe share a little bit about, if someone wanted to, do what you're doing and maybe share a little bit about your education program, how it kind of comes together, what actually you focus on, and, mm-hmm. How you can maybe help some people who may, see this.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm open, like I said, to any questions from anyone starting out, because it does help me in the end as an educator. So I do have my Instagram, which I'm most active on, and that's styles_by_ReneeMurray. And you can DM me on there. There's also a link on there for my email, which is stylesbyreneeMurray@yahoo.com. And then also, which will be up and running again soon, is my website, which is stylesbyrenee.com. I didn't get the Murray because that domain name was taken, and I'm so mad about it. So those are all the places that you guys can reach me at. And I'm, like I said, I'm open to, answering any questions that you guys have. And, on my Instagram in the highlighted stories, I have a lot of information on when my next upcoming classes are. Mm-hmm. I will eventually have my hair education site up and running again. So I'll have that on there. And then also the link to my YouTube channel will be on there too. So.
Awesome. Super cool. So now you know where to find Renee. Styles by Marie, right? Or Renee.
Styles by Renee. Yep. Okay. So it's Renee, R-E-N-E-E.
Okay.
N-A-R-I-E.
Okay. And your website got me thrown off a little bit.
I know. Sorry.
But yeah, thank you so much for being so transparent today. I think, if anyone, needs to kind of hear, how to go through some hard times, just play this back. And like, you can tell that you've been through a lot and you've overcome so much, and like, you're going to accomplish some awesome things, and hopefully we can collaborate on that together.
For sure.
So, absolutely. Awesome. All right. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
Thank you.